Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Last night by the Los Angeles Clippers, and let's make sure we frame this thing as the Nuggets are pretty good too, not just talk about what went wrong, but Brian Windhorst is good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game from ESPN. Brian, we appreciate you joining us today on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. There's so much to dive into. Let's start with what you thought was the most disappointing aspect of the Clippers' collapse.
Well, the collapse didn't just happen last night. Although it was pretty dramatic the way it all went down in the second half. But, you know, you started getting the feeling during this series and even a little bit during the Dallas series that there wasn't as much there with the Clippers that so many of over the past 12 months, quite frankly. And that was surprising, and it became a little bit more concerning each game. And you kept waiting for it and waiting for it. And so this was not something that was short-term. This showed itself over a long period. There's something that happens in basketball, though, that when it turns on you, like all of a sudden there's a snowballing effect, and that definitely happened. But it was more than just them not being into the game last night. And I also didn't quite understand the level of dislike within the NBA. I'm not talking about from Laker fans. I understand why Laker fans were gleeful. The way my phone lit up from players to coaches to executives to agents to an owner who texted me, I just didn't have that feel. And I just guess I misjudged this Clippers team pretty across the board.
Well, I think maybe, Brian, it's because I thought that they conducted business as if they were already defending NBA champions. And that's a good way to start making upset other NBA locker rooms.
I mean, my frame of reference is the 2010 Heat, who, you know, had a rally and said they were going to win 7 championships and stuff like that. I mean, I think that, you know, Doc Rivers is generally regarded as having class. I think their front office and their ownership is regarded as having class. Kawhi Leonard doesn't say anything. Paul George, every now and then, but, you know, do you let Patrick Beverley and Marcus Morris, like, define your organization? I just think part of it was born out of jealousy. And people just like it when, you know, these super teams come together and the best laid plans fall apart. I think it's human nature, but no matter what, I totally misjudged it, because the venom blew me away and continues to surprise me as we get distance from the game.
Toward that end, there's a clip of Marcus Morris telling Paul Millsap at the end of the first half in game 5, when the Clippers were leading 56-40, get ready to go the bleep home. From that point, they lost Game 5 by being outscored from that point on by 22. In the second half of Game 6, they got outscored by 31. And in Game 7, they got outscored by 26. So all these three losses almost played out exactly the same way. Is there something structurally or emotionally wrong with the Clippers that, when they have it all there, I'm just talking about this year, when they've got three games locked up, to simply go in the tank in the second half to the point where you get outscored by 79, What do you attribute that?
I think there's a combination, as with all catastrophes. There's always multiple things. One, I think the Clippers just flat out choked. Specifically last night, I mean, in the fourth quarter, they were literally missing wide open dunks and open layups and hitting the side of backboards with shots. Those are choke shots, okay? Secondly, I think the emotional leadership of their team, guys like Jamal Murray, Jokic, and I also think that Mike Malone hit all of the right notes. I think one of my most memorable things I will have from last night was before the game, when he was asked about the Clippers coaches wearing their salmon shirt, and they were undefeated in their salmon shirt. And Mike Malone said, well, we're wearing all black to honor Johnny Cash. And I mean, I don't even think most of the players probably even know who Johnny Cash is, but my point is that mentality that Malone had, putting the players at ease, you could see it. So I and if you look at the way Murray played and the way Jokic played, they were playing a more inspiring brand of basketball than the way Kawhi and Paul George were, who were trying to win the games by firing up shots in traffic, whereas Jokic and Murray were really playing a team-oriented game. And then you just look at the fact that as the series went on, you saw a guy like Gary Harris, who hadn't really been able to contribute to this team for 6 months until like 10 days ago. He got stronger and stronger and stronger. And meanwhile, you have guys like Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, who got weaker and weaker and weaker, because I think those two guys are completely out of rhythm from what happened to them in the bubble quarantine and all that stuff. And I feel like all of those things compounded and resulted in this incredible slice of moment in time. But when you go down the checkboard, it was like the Nuggets are better at this. Check, 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 check. I mean, it was pretty obvious by the midway through the third quarter that the better team was winning. And I would even argue that I don't think the incorrect team won here. I think the better team prevailed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Brian. I didn't think they would be before the series, but after watching it for seven games, I think the better team won as well. And that brings me to this Western Conference, in a lot of places, is going to get better. Utah is probably better. Certainly, this Denver team looks to be on the upswing. The Lakers can probably add this offseason around LeBron and AD. What changes do the Clippers have to make? Because I'm not sure I see it.
Yeah, they're not in position to make major changes. You know, they could do some things at the margins. They have three big free agents, and I assume that they will try to re-sign them. Even though Montrezl Harrell was poor in this series, if he walks out the door, you don't have a ready-made replacement. You don't have salary cap space to do it. So even if you trade him and try to sign him to a contract that you could eventually trade, or even look at a sign-and-trade, I think they're going to try to keep those guys. Maybe they could make a deal on the margins of their roster. Like I said, Lou Williams is going into the last year of his contract. You know, he's a guy that teams might have interest in. But, you know, you're going to come back with essentially the same core players. And, you know, Pat Riley has talked about this in the past as well. I think there is a tendency in today's day and age that if something doesn't work, you now must go through a major makeover. You know, if you talked about this like a poker hand, as I sort of see a lot of things in the NBA, we could argue about what the poker hand was. We could argue about whether it was they were holding two aces or they were holding two jacks, but they had a hand that they thought was pretty good that got cracked by a bunch of circumstances. That doesn't mean that you take that same hand and muck it the next year. So I think they have to examine themselves from within, but I think you're going to see the same team come back. But where it gets pressure packed is that now all of a sudden we have 1 year left on Paul George and Kawhi Leonard's contract. So if you don't come out of the gate looking like a championship team next year, that external pressure is going to begin to twist. And that was something that they didn't live with this year. Even as they were struggling through the season, they got a pass. They got a pass for load management. They got a pass for not coming together. At one point, Montrezl Harrell complained about their team's focus, and Doc Rivers like shamed him and told him to shut up. Even though his points, I think, were very valid, they will not get that pass next year. And you think, you know, Giannis is going to be under pressure in Milwaukee because he's going towards free agency? It should be the same way for the Clippers.
Brian Windhorst joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line here on 95.7 The Game. if I'm Steve Ballmer, I fire Doc Rivers. Why won't he?
Because who do you replace him with?
I mean, look at it this way. There is, like you just said, there's very few personnel choices to make. I would get a different voice in the room. Who you replace him with is anyone who doesn't have a reputation for blowing 3-1 leads. That's who you replace him with.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I've had a handful of conversations today with NBA executives about what to do about that. And the majority think that it's a hard thing to do right now. There's 7 open jobs. There isn't a very clear candidate to come take that job. And whenever you change and lose a successful coach, it's one thing if you have a coach that's a disaster. It's easy to move on. You better damn well have your plan in place. So I look at the Houston Rockets and say, boy, you better know what you're doing because you ran a successful coach out of there. So most people think that that's not going to happen. Having said that, I think that it is very fair to look at Doc's performance in this particular postseason and in this season in general and say he didn't give his best effort either.
I bet you they got go get Greg Popovich money if Steve Ballmer wanted to look for it.
I mean, I don't think Greg Popovich is moved by money.
Fair enough.
Isn't that a weird situation with Kawhi, too? I don't know if that would work.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting comment, but it's not a real conversation.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the Clippers basically are in a stasis of shame. That the big things that they need to do, they can't really do. Or the big things they could conceivably do, they can't really do. So do you just go in and say, okay, you're going to live with that? I mean, the way Kawhi lived with his performance in 2015 in the postseason, and show us that, and then think about, you know, okay, if this doesn't work next year, then I do blow it up.
Well, stasis of shame. I have you ever written for a living? It's not bad.
No, I'm a hopeless hack.
So let me just compare this, if I can, to the Miami Heat in 2011, because this is the closest thing I can compare it to. It's not an ideal comparison, but they washed out in the finals after having a lead, and LeBron, you know, vomited over himself in a couple of the games in those series. And their situation is a little different, as they had those guys under contract for 4 years, but they were similarly hamstrung. They weren't trading Chris Bosh, you know, or whatever. They weren't firing Eric Spoelstra. So they modified their style of play. Eric Spoelstra made some significant changes. And they went out and got a key role player in Shane Battier. And they were able to get a decent player in the draft who was a rotation player in Norris Cole. And the second year together, when they were a little bit more humbled and they made a few schematic changes, they won the championship. In fact, they won the championship relatively easily. And if you look at teams who've had sort of embarrassment like this, many of them have come back strong. Kawhi was a part of one of them. You know, it wasn't a 3-1 lead, but he blew a 3-2 lead as part of the Spurs, and they came back the next year and were, you know, vicious. It's not a perfect comparison to the Warriors after 3-1 because they're not adding a Kevin Durant, but the Warriors came back and, you know, were on a mission the following year. The Heat were on a mission that following year. You know, there is some, there, you know, and the Clippers organization is a strong organization. It's a strong front office. So, I mean, they're going to take their lumps. And they have to just sit there and accept it right now. But I don't think this is a situation where you want to get radical. I think you look at the bones and say, this is a championship caliber team. Let's figure out how to make it a championship caliber team.
Brian Windhorst, great to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. It was good to catch up with you today.
Thank you and have a good day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.